And do you know how many people would probably, like, run away at the sight of dismembered legs?
Yeah. Dude, there's a 4-foot bong and a bag of wheat by your bed.
Tiddlywinks, the parlor game for nerds, is nearing extinction.
It's in my pod! It's in my pod!
I will find proof.
I'm very easily startled, Mr. Fingerman. I don't know which regulation body would regulate the penis ring that you were talking about earlier.
I'm ready to remain conscious as we record this show.
Hey, welcome, Medical Stuff. My name is Mark. I'm sorry, what was that? Frankum? And that is Chris. You never listened to me, Fingston over there. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Just hanging out, listening to some good things, or not.
What? That's not a hearing joke. I just don't know what you're talking about.
Not listening, stuff like that. Anyway, we're talking about hearing disorders tonight.
Yeah, we are. And hey, for a medical stuff first, we actually wrote the name down of who we're going to be thanking for this episode.
No,
today.
It's not a first. We have things. It's just been a little bit of time since I've remembered to do that.
No. But we actually wrote it down. Like we've.
Oh, yes. I'm not like frantically searching for it as we're recording.
Yeah. We've gotten the names right before. But this is the first time that I think we like wrote it down and we're prepared ahead of time, which is almost now negated by me talking about it. Like, there's no
right.
Benefit.
Well, the question
to it.
Is how much fanfare do we want to put into this when we thank Hannah Addy for the ideas for this evening?
Hannah Addy.
There we go. It's Hannah Addy.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not Jessica Trout. It's Hannah Addy.
Trout.
So, yeah, this evening, excuse me. Feeling great. Why do you ask?
Do you think. Do you think Troutita is now going to have like a thing with Hannah Addy? Like, damn it, she took my place.
Oh. Yeah, Hannah Addy?
Hannah Addy? Yeah, Hannah Addy. Yeah. And Troutita?
At our first live show, we'll have them do like a thumb war sort of thing to figure out who's the coolest.
Oh, they could do a thumb war, or they could do, do a live show and we could have listeners come on and compete with medical stuff trivia.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Like you hear this on the radio show.
So like
we have multiple
listeners and they come on and we ask them questions or
yeah,
we
exactly.
Listeners compete against us.
Like you'd have Hannady versus mm-hmm. Troutita and be like, all right, first question, they'd buzz in and then whoever like wins, it'd be like a best out of three or something like that. Whoever wins and gets some sort of prize.
Maybe a shirt with that picture on it that we made.
I could even have the original shirt, which I think has a stain on it now, but it could be the original shirt that we put your face on and we could auction that off, actually worn by me.
We'll call it a sweat stain to make it extra special.
I might even have a sweat stain on there. Who knows?
I don't think we're enticing Hannady or Trout to show up for this.
I don't know. And if we are, then maybe we don't want them to show up for this.
If they're willing to compete for a sweat-stained t-shirt of you with my picture on it.
Yeah, maybe it's a little dangerous. You know, maybe that's...
There's a stability issue there you might want to address with security before they get here.
That's what we call a red flag. That's what that is. All right.
Okay. So, I got to tell you, this is going to be a thick episode because we got like 19 pages of prep.
Thick.
Now, I will say, there's a lot of bullet points I put in this one. So
good. I love bullet points.
Yeah. So, the hearing, the ear anatomy and physiology.
Oh, which
just
is
in case you didn't know what A&P stood for, Chris.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Thank you. I was going to go with ants and peanuts. Not again. But yeah, I would say that if we're talking about hearing, the ear is going to be something we should probably... go over. It's actually made of several parts. So the part
moving that, parts?
Well, some of them, yes. So you have the external or outer ear, which only moves if you flick it. But that's the part you see.
Don't forget that the ear is an organ of hearing and balance.
It is. That's very true. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we're going to talk about the balance today too, or just the hearing part.
I don't remember. It's like a week and a half since I've done this.
Oh, Jesus. All right, we're going to find out.
That's going to be like an adventure for all of us. We'll take Hannady and Trout to tell along with us just as a backup.
There you go. So the external or outer ear, that's the part that you see. That consists of the pinna or the auricle. This is the outside part of the ear.
That's the part a lot of people get pierced.
Exactly. That's the lobe, I guess you could call it, really.
Well, anywhere on the ear, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lobe would be part of it. But then you have the external auditory canal, or tube. This is the tube that connects the outer ear to the inside or middle ear. So
here's talking like the London Underground tube?
Absolutely. Tube. Okay. That's apparently, in my mind, all Brits talk. But anyway, so the tube, I guess this would be the part like when you're trying to dig out wax, this is where you'd be digging it out of.
Right.
So now wax can
this is where you should absolutely positively not stick your keys to scratch your ears.
But we all do. It's like how Q-tips are no longer recommended for that. And it even says, right, like, don't put this in your, well, everybody does. And I'm sorry, it's one of my favorite parts of my day. I love Q-tipping. I know it's weird and I don't care, but it's one of my, it's just the favorite part of the day.
It's a good scratch.
Yeah. So tympanic membrane, eardrum. So that's the eardrum. That is the part that if you're ever a lot of people have these now, the little ear scopes or otoscopes that they'll just look into their kids' ears. Well, what you're looking for down there is the tympanic membrane or the eardrum. This tympanic, mm-hmm. The tympanic membrane divides the external ear from the middle ear. And it's basically like, if you think about like a drum and you have the, I don't know what you'd call that. Well, yeah. But if you have like the, you know, like the stretchy shit on top of a drum that stretches over it. So it's drummy.
The drum skin?
Yeah, the drum skin. Yeah. So the tympanic membrane is essentially the drum skin, hence the eardrum. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so then you got the middle ear. That's going to be on the other side of the eardrum. That's called the tympanic cavity. And that consists of ossicles. That's three small bones that are connected, and they transmit sound waves to the inner ear. And those bones are called the malleus, which actually looks like a mallet. Go figure. The incus. Don't know what that looks like exactly. Anyway, and then you have the stapes, which stapes is actually, I believe, another language for stirrup. And it looks like the stirrup on a saddle that you would have on a horse.
A small anvil-shaped bone in the middle ear transmitting vibrations between the malleus and the stapes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Shaped so, like an anvil.
There you go. That would be an incus. Not to be confused with an incubus, which is a male succubus.
Great. Or incubus.
Or a band.
Yeah, the band, which is actually, they had some hits, man. They had some good hits. I want to say that two or three, and they're also kind of one of those bands that I am very sorry for the Incubus fans out there, and we may lose some listeners. They were one of those bands that I would say was definitely guilty of, they would release an album that would have one, you know, like one or two of those hits on it, and the rest would be just a different flavor. I'm not saying that flavor is good or bad. I'm just saying that if you bought the album, you motherfuckers, thinking you'd get more of the same style that was in those hits, you would be mistaken.
No, really, I hate mail from Incubus.
Yeah, but you know what? If Incubus listens to us, I'd be pretty stoked. I would want the hate mail. I'd be like, yes.
Like, definitely put that in the save file.
Right. All right, so then you have the Eustachian tube. So this is a canal that links the middle ear with the back of the nose, go figure. And the Eustachian tube helps to equalize pressure in the middle ear. Equalized pressure is needed for the proper...
Yeah, that's right. For the proper transfer of sound waves.
Yeah, I'm going to leave that yawn in there. Yeah, true. It's needed for the proper transfer sound.
Because you are prepared to remain conscious during the recording of this show.
Yeah. exactly. The Eustachian tube, though, is lined with mucus, just like the inside of your nose or throat.
Well, this is what you're trying to pop whenever you're in the airplane or you get a head cold.
Yeah, and you're sitting there trying to like open your mouth and make it pop. Yeah, that's what this is.
God dang it, take over. It's also where kids will get tubes placed if they're having severe, if they get a lot of sinus infections and they get a lot of ear infections, they'll put in fake Eustachian tubes.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So, inner ear. So, the inner ear consists of the cochlea. This contains the nerves for hearing. The vestibule, which this contains receptors for balance, and the semicircular canals, which contains receptors for balance. Now, if I'm not incorrect, and I could be, who knows, there is actually fluid inside the vestibule, and the cochlea, I believe, has fluid as well, but I'm not 100%. And that fluid is what actually helps you maintain balance, because as you tilt your head or your body tilts, if you ever take a glass of water, and you start tilting that glass of water, well, it doesn't stay in the cup, obviously. The water level stays level. And what happens is that fluid that's in the vestibule will contact receptors inside of it to kind of let your body know, hey, how upright am I or am I not?
Actually, they're in the fluid is in the cochlea.
Oh, gotcha.
The end of the next paragraph.
Well, I didn't read that far. Anyway.
So you decided to wing it.
Right. I mean, are you, is there a different expectation on this show?
No.
All right, take it away, Mark. I gotta get the yawns out, apparently.
Hearing starts with the outer ear. When a sound is made outside the outer ear, the sound of vibrations or the sound waves or vibrations travel down the exterior auditory canal and strike the eardrum, the tympanic membrane. That eardrum then vibrates. The vibrations then are passed to three tiny bones in the middle ear called the ossicles. The ossicles amplify the sound. Then the sound waves, they send the sound waves to the inner ear and into the fluid-filled hearing organ, the cochlea. So there should be a song named Cochlea.
I don't know. Cochlea, it sounds like a seashell to me.
Conch?
Yeah, cochlea.
Yeah, cochlea. Cochlea cobana. Once the sound waves reach the inner ear, they are converted into electrical impulses. The auditory nerve sends these impulses to the brain, and the brain then translates these electrical impulses into the dulcet sounds of our voices.
Mm.
Yes. So hopefully your brain is working really hard to make us sound better.
Right. Come on, brain.
We're relying on your brain to make us sound amazing. So our first disease we're going to talk about, our first problem with the ears, the acoustic neuroma. Acoustic neuroma, also known as the vestibular schwannoma, which I thought was made up, I swear to God. Hey, you know, it's the schwannoma, is a non-cancerous and usually slow-growing tumor that develops in the main vestibular nerve leading from your inner ear to your brain. Branches of this nerve directly influence your balance and hearing, and pressure from the acoustic neuroma can cause hearing loss, ringing in your ear, and unsteadiness. Acoustic neuroma usually rises from the Schwann cells, covering the nerve, and grows slowly or not at all. So it's really an underperforming kind of tumor, I guess. Rarely it may grow rapidly or become large enough to press against the brain and interfere with vital functions. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Okay. We're so quiet.
I know. Thought maybe,
you know, like you had dozed off or, you know, lost our connection.
Could happen.
We just don't have a connection anymore, Chris. Symptoms of autistic neuroma. Signs and symptoms of autistic neuroma are often subtle and may take many years to develop. These usually arise from the tumor's effect on hearing and balance nerves. Pressure from the tumor on adjacent nerves controlling facial muscles and sensation, facial and trigeminal nerves, nearby blood vessels, or brain structures may also cause problems. Yes,
the facial nerve. Remember that nerve? That's super real, Mark?
Maybe.
All right. Had the gloat. We're good.
Can we move on?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now.
As the tumor grows, it may be more likely to cause more noticeable or severe signs and symptoms. Common signs and symptoms of autistic neuroma include hearing loss, usually gradual. Well, that's what's been going on with me for the last 20 years. Has nothing to do with the loud rock and roll or the sirens. Let's see, hearing loss, usually gradual, although in some cases sudden, and occurring on only one side or more pronounced on one side. Ringing or tinnitus in the affected ear. Unsteadiness, loss of balance. Dizziness or vertigo, facial numbness, and very rarely weakness or loss of muscle movement.
Wow.
So you know why we get tired when we go riding in a car, especially children?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like I can sleep in an ambulance like better than I can sleep in my bed.
Well, do you know why?
Why?
Because sleepiness is your body's first way of battling motion sickness.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So you put your kids in the car, they get a little motion sick, low grade motion sickness makes them, and your body goes, let's go to sleep, so we have to deal with that.
Wow.
And there you go. So in rare cases, an autistic neuroma may grow large enough to compress the brainstem and become life threatening.
Did you say an autistic neuroma instead of acoustic neuroma?
There's a distinct possibility, but I meant acoustic neuroma. In fact, I'm almost 100% sure I said acoustic. No need to rewind and go back and double check that at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did I tell you about that?
Yes.
On the Bell's Palsy episode, somebody put on one of her messages, I misspelled Ball's Palsy.
bravo, dude. Whatever the fuck that was. Bravo.
I laughed for a few minutes over that one. So causes. They causes of acoustic neuromas. Guillain-Barré appears... No, just acoustic neuromas, making a point. Appears to be a malfunctioning gene on chromosome number 22. Normally, this gene produces a tumor-suppressing suppressor protein that helps control the growth of Schwann cells covering the nerves. What makes this gene malfunction? Not very clear. And in most cases of autistic acoustic neuroma, damn it, there is no identifiable cause. This faulty gene is also inherited in neurofibromatosis type 2, which we're going to get to here in a second, a rare disorder that usually involves growth of tumors on balanced nerves on both sides of your head. Bilateral vestibular schwannomas.
Right. So some risk factors. And that's it. I'm sure. Okay. I was scrolling. It didn't load for half a second. It got to risk factors. It's just nothing. I'm like, and we're done. But anyway, risk factors. So neurofibromatosis type 2. The only confirmed risk factor for acoustic neuroma is having a parent with the rare genetic disorder of neurofibromatosis type 2. But neurofibromatosis type 2 only counts for about 5% of acoustic neuroma cases. A hallmark characteristic of neurofibromatosis type 2 is the development of non-cancerous tumors on the balanced nerves on both sides of your head as well as on other nerves. So neurofibromatosis type 2, we're just going to say NF2 from now on, is known as an autosomal dominant disorder, meaning that the mutation can be passed on by just one parent, dominant gene. Each child in an affected parent has a 50-50 chance of actually inheriting that. So, complications with that? Well, an acoustic neuroma may cause a variety of permanent complications, including hearing loss, facial numbness and weakness, and difficulties with balance, not to mention ringing in the ear as well. Large tumors may press on your brainstem, preventing the normal flow of fluid between your brain and your spinal cord, also known as cerebral spinal fluid. In this case, fluid can build up in your head. It's called hydrocephalus, increasing the pressure inside your skull. So how is this diagnosed? Well, symptoms are going to develop gradually over time. So common symptoms, such as hearing loss, are also associated with many other middle and inner ear problems. So after asking questions about your symptoms, asking questions to a doctor, by the way, not two idiots with microphones, your doctor will conduct an ear exam. Your doctor may, now, okay, if there are two doctors with microphones, fair, maybe ask that. But
good point.
Yeah. That'd be weird, though, if you go to like your doctor and your doctor just has a microphone, just makes you listen on headphones.
Right.
Constantly bitches at you for like moving away from your microphone. Anyway, so your doctor may order the following test. Hearing test, also known as...
I just hope the hearing test is him staying there like hiding his mouth with his hand going, can you hear me now?
It's actually the old Verizon commercials, yeah. Right. Anyway, so hearing test or audiometry. In this test, conducted by a hearing specialist, an audiologist... Oh, see, I thought a hearing specialist was someone that could hear really good. Anyway... Like I could be a hearing specialist. Anyway, you hear sounds directed at one ear at a time. So the audiologist presents a range of sounds, various tones, and asks you to indicate each time you can hear that sound. So each tone is then repeated at faint levels to find out when you can barely hear. The audiologist.
Have you ever done this?
Yes. Yeah, I have.
I hate this test.
I love it.
Well, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, did I actually hear something there, or is that something
just, that my brain's just making up shit? Just press the button. Just always press the button. Yeah, you nail
carpet
it every time.
Bomb the thing is what you're telling me.
Absolutely, I'm a great audiologist. I mean, hearer, which makes me a hearologist. Maybe I don't know. So the audiologist may also present various words to determine your hearing ability, like toast,
death. What?
Death. What? What was that? Tell me your credit card numbers.
Sorry, what was that last one there?
Yeah. What did you say? I don't. I slept with your mom. Anyway, moving on. So,
hey. Yes, hearing's fine.
Yeah, you got that one. So imaging. So magnetic resonance imaging, also known as an MRI or MRI, is the preferred imaging test. I just want us to get a tanked review because of that. It's the preferred imaging test to confirm the presence of an acoustic neuroma and can detect tumors as small as 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. And that's teeny, teeny, tiny. If MRI is unavailable or you can tolerate or you can't tolerate an MRI scan, for example, if you're very claustrophobic, computerized tomography may be used as well. It's also known as a CT scan. can, but it can miss the very small tumors. Just to give you guys an idea, 1 to 2 millimeters is like a ballpoint pinhead.
No, I was saying the picture on Facebook where people have forgotten that the M stands for magnetic and MRI, and there's like this picture of this bed just jammed into the MRI.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
And then it's this, yeah, there's a whole series of pictures of like people's walkers that they left in the corner and stuff like that. So, monitoring. If you have a small acoustic neuroma, should we just start that over again?
Yeah, let's just start that over again.
So, monitoring. If you have a small acoustic neuroma that isn't growing or is growing slowly causes few signs and symptoms, you and your doctor may decide to monitor it, especially if you're an older adult and otherwise not a good candidate for aggressive treatment. Your doctor may recommend that you have regular imaging and hearing tests, usually every 6 to 12 months, to determine whether the growth or the tumor is growing quickly and how quickly if it is. If the scan shows the tumor is growing or if the tumor causes progressive symptoms or other difficulties, you may need to undergo treatment. What kind of treatment, Chris?
Well, the kind of treatments that you may have to undergo, we're going to start with the fun ones, surgery. So you may need surgery to remove an acoustic neuroma. Your surgeon may use one of several techniques for removing an acoustic neuroma, such as throwing knives or, no, I'm just kidding.
Stab and grab.
Yeah, he actually just puts a straw in your ear, puts his mouth in the straw and just sucks really hard, just hopes it pops off.
No, Chris, he puts a straw in the opposite ear and he blows really hard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we don't want to give misinformation here on medical stuff. Right. Mark, I will edit out my erroneous and just leave marks in there. But anyway, so the technique is going to depend on the size of your tumor and does not include any of the shit that I just said and the hearing or Mark and the hearing status and some other factors. So the goal of surgery is to remove the tumor, preserve the facial nerve to prevent facial paralysis and preserve.
You're trying to make a point.
So we've talked about this on the show before, and that is, rarely in Mark and I's interaction am I cleanly right. It doesn't happen often. But when it happens, I mean, shit, do I double down. I mean, that is...
Boy, you run with it.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, absolutely. Like, I mean, and we mentioned this every show, too, but we do have that one review. You know what we should do? We should cut and copy that review and put it on the Facebook page so people don't have to sort through it, because I just want people to read it at this point. I really... really too. Just because this review, it disses Mark and then just tells me that I seem to know what I'm talking about. And it hasn't gotten out of my head. And when I'm feeling down, like some people have like breathing exercises or alcohol or antidepressants, I just read that review and it never gets old.
And we're talking about the one where you're carrying the show, right?
Absolutely.
and I lost all credibility, right?
Yeah, pretty much, OB-GYN motherfucker. So anyway, surgery for an acoustic neuroma is performed under general anesthesia and involves removing the tumor through the inner ear or through a window in your skull. Boy, I wish we could elaborate on the window in the skull a little more. I'm sure it's just like a flap or something that we make. But anyway.
Well, I'm sure they probably, or it's a window into your soul.
Yes, well, it is. What it is just the window into your soul, but you go and you take a left and you get to the skull that way. So anyway, the entire tumor may not be able to be completely removed in certain cases. So for example, if the tumor is too close to important parts of the brain or the facial nerve itself. So sometimes surgical removal of the tumor may worsen symptoms if the hearing, balance, or facial nerves are damaged during the operation. So that is actually why surgeons play the game operation, so they don't screw it up. So
here we go, Chris.
Yeah.
During surgery, a section of skull is removed from behind the ear to access the tumor and nerves. So they literally go in behind the ear and they cut out a section of your skull to get into it from behind.
That's awesome. I'm also going to point out my recent victory. As you guys may know, from time to time, my phone will chime while we're recording. That's usually Mark just trying to fuck with me because I forget to put my...
Well, no, I'm not trying to fuck with you, Chris.
Mm.
I'm doing... quality control.
Oh, are you, bitch? I mean, are you, Mark? Check out these results. Ah! Whose phone was that right there?
That was actually Google.
Whose phone was that?
Did a search.
Was that from your phone, Mark?
Well, only because I was doing research on my phone. Good God.
Yes, it was. Whose phone was not on silent? Cleanly right.
No.
Twice.
It was on silent. That was not a ringtone.
Oh,
that was Google.
Google
answering a question for me.
It doesn't matter. It was a sound from your phone that made it onto the recording that shouldn't have. Oh my gosh. Two episodes in a row, people. Two episodes in a row.
Facial nerves and Google screwing
me. Oh my goodness. While I was explaining how my phone didn't screw me because I put my shit on silent for once. On silent for once. Complications may include leakage of cerebral spinal fluids through the womb.
Taking that win and running with it.
Yeah. Complications of a surgery may include leakage of cerebral spinal fluid through the wound, hearing loss, facial weakness, facial numbness, because that's the facial nerve that supplies those things, ringing in the ear, balance problems, a persistent headache, kind of like the one you get when talking to Mark because he's wrong all the time, infection of cerebral spinal fluid, also known as meningitis, stroke, or brain bleeding. Mark, tell us about radiation therapy. Go.
Well, I just like how half the possible complications of the surgery are the same complications of having the disease.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not stroke and brain bleeding, but you know.
It's like those depression medications that may cause suicidal thoughts. It's like,
right.
It's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
So
radiation therapy, gamma knife stereostatic radiosurgery. That's where they just phone it in.
I actually found that really funny, too.
Have you seen that commercial? I can't remember what it's for, but they're like, have you ever worked with this doctor? She's like, yeah, he's okay. And the doc comes walking in from the hallway. He's like, hey, guess you just got off suspension. Well, not officially. So stereostatic radiosurgery. Your doctor may recommend a type of radiation therapy known as stereostatic radiosurgery. But yeah, I said autistic neuroma like five times. If you have acoustic neuroma, particularly if your tumor is small, less than 3 centimeters in diameter, you're an older adult and cannot tolerate surgery for health reasons. Stereostatic radiosurgery, such as gamma knife surgery, uses many tiny gamma rays to deliver a precisely targeted dose of radiation to a tumor without damaging the surrounding tissue.
So I actually have an issue with this. Incision. Huh? I have an issue with this.
What's that?
So here's the thing. I've read a lot of comic books. Particularly the Hulk. And you know what caused the Hulk to be the Hulk? That's right, gamma radiation.
But not very small amounts. He got a big dose of it.
Yeah, I know. But what if someone accidentally hits the button? You know, because I... Which,
like
of course,
the Hulk button?
No. Like I'm sure there's like a dial on there. And if you dial it too high.
So you take it to 11?
Yeah. Basically, if you spinal tap this shit and it goes into.
So there's like, I just imagine this knob sitting there. It's like appropriate treatment. And then it goes over, it just says Hulk.
and instead of being a red bar, it's green. Someone's like, oh, that must be right, good.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like a appropriate treatment, no-go zone, Hulk.
Which, so. By the way, I hope that someone who listens to our show actually has used one of these machines. And it's just sitting like, these guys are fucking idiots. It's probably really. Not.
This is the OB-GYN thing all over again. Yeah, I can't listen to these two morons.
Because in my mind, this is a Frankenstein monster style machine where they're throwing a giant toggle switch. They have to wait for a lightning storm to happen. You know,
like the rest of the hospital's lights dims every time they use it.
Right. And seriously, the thing's running on hamsters, running in hamster wheels. Like, that's how this works.
Because that's good medicine right there.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You're surrounding a target tissue, we're making an incision. You're going to say something?
Well, we left off with using imaging scans.
Yes.
Yes.
Using imaging scans, your doctor point. Good Lord, you're contagious.
Jesus, sorry. You should do a stroke scale on yourself.
Using imaging scans, your doctor pinpoints a tumor and then plans where to direct the radiation beams. The doctor attaches a lightweight head frame to your scalp, so they tie you down.
Right.
Which has been numbed. Your scalp has been numbed?
Yeah. Well, I'm imagining the way they attach this thing.
Should have done more research on how that happens.
Imagine the way they attach this thing probably isn't very friendly.
Right. But no, I think I probably should look into how that's done. They just like rub your whole head with lidocaine or something?
Nah, glue. Rubber cement.
There you go. To keep your head still during the procedure.
Yeah.
The goal of stereostatic radiosurgery is to stop the growth of the tumor, preserve the facial nerves function, and possibly preserve hearing. It may take weeks, months, or years before the effects of radiosurgery become evident. Your doctor will monitor your progress with follow-up imaging studies and hearing tests. So what he does when he walks in the room, he comes in from behind you, just snaps his finger by the ear and sees if you react.
Yeah. Then if you don't, he's like, shit.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wait, just a second. You've got a quarter in your ear.
Oh,
that's
my
when
God.
You really start to wonder about your doctor. Risks of radiosurgery include... hearing loss.
I am majored in audiology and I minored in magic.
ringing in the ear, facial weakness, facial numbness, balance problems, and then treatment failure.
They've got an MRI machine where they just put this lady in it, and then they saw her in half while they're doing it, you know, like that.
They're just trying to figure out how to make the capes glitter without being metallic.
Yeah.
Stereostatic radiotherapy, fractionated stereostatic radiotherapy, or SRT. Shouldn't it be FSRT? Delivers a small dose of radiation to the tumor over several sessions in an effort to curb the growth of the tumor without damaging the surrounding brain tissue. Sounds like a solid choice.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I like the name of this one personally, proton beam therapy.
Jesus, Scotty, beam me up.
Exactly. This type of radiation uses high energy beams of positively, yay, charged particles called protons. You know, it's not saying I don't like protons, but they're just so goddamn positive all the time.
I know, seriously.
Sometimes I just need to hang around with like an electron or a neuron and just to balance a little bit.
Yeah, just a little negativity is okay. brings a lot of balance and stability to...
I need to wrap some tape around my glasses and push them up on my nose real quick. minimize radiation exposure to the surrounding area.
So, supportive therapy. Basically, we fucked up your therapy. We've given up. I'm joking. Might cut that. So supportive therapy, in addition to treatment to remove or stop the growth of a tumor, your doctor may recommend supportive therapies to address symptoms or complications of an acoustic neuroma and its treatment, such as dizziness or balance problems. Cochlear implants or other treatments may also be recommended to treat hearing loss. So,
and if I remember correctly, I think I've got some stuff on cochlear at the very end.
Okay. So let's go ahead and move on to
just straight up deafness.
Yeah, straight up deafness, which could be old a result school. From a, from the thing we just talked about.
Yeah. Acoustic neuroma.
Yeah. Acoustic neuroma. That's right. I carry this show. Anyway. So deafness. So symptoms may be mild, moderate, severe, or profound. Now, see, whenever I see the word profound, I always think like a philosopher saying something that just hits home.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about. Profound, talking about like complete deafness. That'd be profound deafness. So a patient with a mild hearing impairment may have problems understanding speech, especially if there's a lot of noise around, while those with moderate deafness might need a hearing aid. So some people are severely deaf and rely on lip reading to communicate with others. People who are profoundly deaf can hear nothing at all and can find themselves totally reliant on lip reading or sign language. If you guys want a good laugh, just go to YouTube, type in bad lip reading, and have yourself an amazing day. We're not a sponsor.
One of the best ones is they do it with Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. Or he's got another where he does The Empire Strikes Back, and it's about seagulls, and it's fucking great. But anyway, we're not affiliated with bad lip reading at all, and this isn't a paid spot. We just think it's funny, but still, it is so goddamn funny. So, the United States, around 15% of people over the age of 18 years report some level of hearing loss. I have a little bit of hearing loss. I lied about being a good hearer. I have a little bit of hearing loss in my left ear.
I do. I find that when I'm in, like at restaurants, stuff like that, I have a hard time hearing an individual person talking.
For me, noise helps. And I actually have a harder time hearing people with low sounds. Really hard.
So that's why you never listen to me, right?
I actually do have, over the phone, man, I have a very hard time talking to you sometimes.
That's because you don't like talking to me.
Well, right. No. You're thinking of when I gag. I'm thinking when I'm sitting there saying what? anyway, there's that. My left ear, from shooting guns. I shot a 45 in between some trees with no hearing protection and got a ringing in my ear. And which is weird because from what I understand, like it's the higher pitches that go first. But for me, I went and got my hearing checked years later and it was lower tones had dropped off the scale.
I wonder if it's because it's the gun.
I have no idea.
Lower tone.
All I know is that it immediately had pain. So and
next time you can't hear me, I should tell you to change ears.
Legitimately, yes.
Okay, well, good to know.
So, causes. Some diseases or circumstances, like we talked about earlier, can cause deafness. And that includes the chicken pox can actually cause deafness. Go figure. Cytomegalovirus. That's, everyone knows cytomegalovirus, which I believe is exponential growth of cells is what that is. Mumps. meningitis, sickle cell disease, syphilis, Lyme disease, diabetes, as studies have actually shown that people with diabetes are more likely to have some kind of hearing loss, a treatment for tuberculosis, streptomycin, that is believed to be a key risk factor, hypothyroidism, arthritis, and some cancers. And then, of course, teenagers exposed to secondhand smoke.
Cytomegalovirus, right?
Yeah.
Is a genus of the virus in the order of herpes virals.
Ah.
It is in the family of herpes viridae, in the subfamily of...
Salsa viridae. Sorry.
That was good. It was good.
Thank you.
That was quick, too, you know. Subfamily of beta herpes virinae. Virinae? Humans and monkeys are natural hosts. Well, hello there. Thank you for the party.
All right.
Yeah, I can get neck deep in that, but we're not going to. That's just what it
is. This party is bananas.
Oh.
I had to follow my good one with that.
Yeah. Just to keep it back. Just
yeah,
to keep
yeah. It like, I don't want people to get high expectations of me or anything.
I mean, sure, yeah, you carry the show, but I mean, come on.
Right.
But. So, treatment for tuberculosis, yes.
Yes.
Streptomycin is believed to be a key factor.
I already read this. Causing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I started typing the cytomegalovirus, so I kind of checked out for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah. Got all the way down to the next page. So the inner ear is home with some of the most delicate bones in the body.
So delicate.
And the damage to the eardrum or middle ear can cause hearing loss and deafness in a range of ways. So take it away with the types.
Types of hearing loss. There are three different types. There is conductive hearing loss. This is what the leaders of bands and orchestras get. Come on. A conductor?
No, sorry. Yeah. I was trying to think of an electrical joke.
This means that vibrations are not passing through the outer ear to the inner ear, specifically the cochlea. This type can occur for many reasons, including an excessive buildup of earwax. Glue ear, a condition where the middle ear fills up with a glue-like fluid instead of air. That was one of those things I was like, I really want to explore that, but we have 19 pages of prep to do. So, an infection with inflammation and fluid buildup, a perforated eardrum, the malfunction of the ossicles, and a defective eardrum. Ear infections can leave scar tissue, which may reduce eardrum function. The ossicles may become impaired as a result of infection, trauma, or fusing together in a condition known as ankylosis. God damn it.
Oh, yeah. No, this is definitely your section.
Sensorineural hearing loss.
Sensorineural. Damn it, that one wasn't that hard.
Yeah, once I sound out. I need to start practicing these like in the shower when I'm getting ready in the morning.
Yeah, but you're going to burn up your phone, man. And you can print it out, but that's not going to help either.
It's IP67. You know, so we're good.
Yeah, have you ever tried to use a touchscreen though in the shower?
No, I have not.
It's next to impossible. I'm an idiot. So I did have that moment where I'm like, hey, this thing's waterproof. I'll just take it in the shower. I want to change the song I'm listening to. Just why not?
Just no selfies at that point, man.
Speak for yourself, Mark. I'm like, I'm just going to change the song. I like to listen to music when I'm in the shower. And I'm just going to change the song real quick. Why not? Grab it in there. Yeah, it's waterproof. It's not going to damage, but you can't use the touchscreen because it gets soaked and wet. And then all of a sudden it's like inputs everywhere. And I'm like, oh God, now I'm not listening to anything. My browser history is just flashing up on the screen. I'm like, no. Well, maybe. Anyway. All right. Never mind. Let's move on.
So, sensorineural hearing loss. Hearing loss caused by a dysfunction of the inner ear, the cochlea, the auditory nerve, or the brain, or by brain damage. This kind of hearing loss is normally due to damaged hair cells. Did I read that right? Sorry, my whole page just jumped on me.
That's okay. You nailed it. Where am I? You did a good job.
Let's see here. As humans grow older, hair cells lose some of their function. And hearing hair cells in the cochlea. I thought that was just talking about regular hair.
No, you just lose so hair cells.
Exactly. Men with like a male pattern baldness, their hearing goes to crap.
That would be me. Which explains a lot.
Yeah, there you go. Is it more on your left side than your right side? Because that could explain the hearing loss instead of the gun.
So I will tell, I got to tell our listeners and you this. I've reached a new level of baldness. where instead of doing a clipper one, I am now doing a clipper zero because my baldness is now to a level to where it is recognizable from space. And so if you use a clipper zero, it's not as recognizable. And I am one step away from just bicking it. And here's the problem with my baldness is I'm not that bald. It's just the way in which I am bald is weird. It is very widow's peaky. And it kind of just comes around and it thins up on top. And then I have like a space in the back. And so there's no way to grow that out. Because here's the thing. I think there are guys out there with certain male pattern baldness. It just looks good, man. You wear it well. Yeah. You know, like my dad is a famously bald character in our EMS community here. And he looks good with it. He sports it well.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart. You know, there's just, who's Patrick Stewart?
You're kidding me. Captain Picard?
Oh, fucking A. Of course I know Patrick
Professor
Stewart.
X?
Yes.
Or Professor
Yes, yes.
Xavier?
I'm an idiot. Yeah, Pat. Yes, yes. Patrick Stewart.
Wow.
Famously bald. Wears it well.
Wow. Take off your taped up glasses, dude. You've been banned from those for 10 minutes.
Okay. can I still wear my contacts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, me blind. But anyway, yeah, so famously bald guys. My hair didn't take up the style. It didn't work well. I will tell a story about how I discovered I was bald in the back of my hair, or in the back of my head. Because here's the thing. No one fucking tells you. They just assume you know. And for good purpose. Well, and so,
yeah, but also most people probably don't see it because you're 6'5".
That, I think people saw this. It was big. Or it is big. And what it was, I got some pictures taken, me and the family. And I was throwing, in one of them, I'm throwing my youngest boy up in the air. It's a beautiful picture. I love it. And he's smiling at the camera and he's just flying up there. And I'm just being like, I hope I catch him because otherwise picture number two is going to be a tragedy. But it has the back of my head
it's
in
gonna
it.
Be, it's going to be evidence number one for the prosecution.
Yeah. And so, and it has the back of my head in it. And I saw the picture and I asked him like, how long has that been there? And she looks at me and she goes, seriously? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how long have I been bald like that? She goes, like, a long time. Like, how long? I don't, like, years? I don't know if I can remember when you didn't have it. And I was like, who the fuck? But I think about, like, who's going to tell you? Like, who's going to be like, you know what? He's balding back there and I bet he doesn't know. I better tell him. Hey, sir. Yes. Yeah. You've got about a 2 to 3 inch bald hockey puck shaped spot in the back of your head in case you didn't know. That's not, no one's going to do that.
No.
No one's going
to do not that. Not at all. So long-term exposure to loud noises.
Loud
just
noises.
Just so everybody knows, we're still talking about hearing loss and deafness.
Let's go back to talking about hair. It's a joke. Huh? Never mind. Go ahead.
Then we have to do an episode on hair. We may. Long-term exposure to loud noises, especially high-frequency sounds, is another common reason for hair cell damage. Damaged hair cells cannot be replaced. Current research is looking into using stem cells to grow new hair cells. Sensorineural total deafness may occur as a result of congenital deformities, inner ear infections, or head trauma. And then the third type is mixed hearing loss. This is a combination of conductive and sensorineural hearing loss. Long-term ear infections can damage both the eardrum and the ossicles. Sometimes surgical intervention may restore hearing, but it's not always effective. Mm-hmm. Symptoms. The symptoms of hearing impairment depend on its cause. I would think probably if you can't hear things. Moving on. Some people are born without being able to hear, while others suddenly become deaf due to an accident or illness. For most people, symptoms of deafness progress gradually over time. Some conditions may have hearing loss as a symptom, such as tinnitus or stroke.
Stroke!
Right. So, hearing impairment in infants, Chris.
Yeah. So, the following signs may indicate a hearing problem in your infant. I say, like, in your infant, as if you just purchased one from Amazon. Does your infant have, before the age of 4 months, the baby does not turn their head towards noise? By the age of 12 months, does the baby still not utter a single word? The infant does not appear to be startled by a loud noise. The infant responds to you when they can see you, but respond far less or do not respond at all when you are out of sight and call out their name.
So now, real quick, I know there's another one, but if the only symptom is that your baby has not uttered a single word by the age of 12 months, talk to your doctor. But if that's the only thing you got going on, they may just not be ready to talk yet.
Yeah, and the truth is there could be other causes for a lot of these things here, but... You should, I would say talk to your doctor if you have like any of these things, but don't don't freak out right off the
bat. Don't stress out at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're laying there in bed that your child's going to be deaf because one of these things hasn't happened.
Because I'll tell you this, I have a 6-year-old that doesn't respond when I talk to him. So
he doesn't like you.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's just through a deep-seated hatred of his father. I'm joking. He loves me very much.
He does. They both your kids do.
But anyway, so and then the last one is the infant only seems to be aware of certain sounds. So which could indicate like a frequency, like they can't hear high pitch or low pitch sound. So hearing impairment in toddlers and children. So these signs might become more evident in slightly older children. The child is behind others at the same age in oral communication. That's actually my child. I'll talk to that in a little bit. The child keeps saying what or pardon. Whose kid is pardon, Papa? You know, like no
father, one's. Father, could you repeat that, please?
Oh God!
My daughter spent most of her childhood just telling me to shut up.
Exactly. That. Yeah. Right. Exactly. That's a child that heard too well. But anyway, right. The child talks in a very loud voice or tends to produce louder than normal noises. When child speaks, their utterances are not clear. So my youngest, we didn't know this, but he was speaking and we couldn't understand what he was hearing. And then, and he just seemed to be behind kids his own age. And what he was saying almost sounded like how someone who is hearing impaired might talk, where certain sounds just don't come out very well. And it turned out he had stenotic eardrums, which we might talk about later. I don't know. But it's basically where calcium or other deposits build up on the eardrums. And they don't vibrate the way they should to transmit sound. And so we didn't know this. And we went in. And the way they do that is basically what it is fluid gets trapped and it doesn't go, it doesn't move. And so they place tubes in his ears, which allowed the fluid to go where it needs to go. And eventually the calcium over time left the eardrum. And it vibrates normally. And I would say within like a week, his speech cleared up. He's still a little bit behind because he was a little bit older by the time we figured that out. So he goes to speech therapy now, but he's been coming along quite well. So.
Excellent.
Anyway, so the four levels of death.
Deafness or deafness?
Deafness. There's really one level of deafness. It's dead. That's dead. Actually, I guess there's two. There's dead, might be able to save you, and dead. Sorry, bud.
What about almost dead?
That's not dead.
Have fun storming the castle.
So there are four levels of deafness or hearing impairment. These are mild deafness or mild hearing impairment. The person can only detect sounds between 25 and 29 decibels. They may find it hard to understand words other people are saying, especially if there's a lot of background noise. Moderate deafness or moderate hearing impairment. This person can only detect sounds between 40 and 69 decibels. Following a conversation using hearing alone is very difficult without the use of a hearing aid. Severe deafness. This person only hears sounds above 70 to 89 decibels. A severely deaf person must either lip read or use sign language in order to communicate, even if they have a hearing aid. Profound deafness. Anybody who cannot hear a sound below 90 decibels has profound deafness. Some people with profound deafness cannot hear anything at all at any decibel level. Communication is carried out using sign language, lip reading.
I just say we keep cranking up until they hear something.
Or reading and writing. And then it's like, hey, they don't even have an eardrum. It's a, anyway.
So did I ever tell you about the call Chris and I went on? You're Chris. I mean,
you probably don't have
Do I saw on Facebook today? I saw a picture from 10 years ago when we brought that tumbleweed back from Soap Lake, Washington.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
The
one
that was like wider than the doors on the ambulance. Anyway. No, DJ and I, we had a patient and we had been in a facility. We moved him out to the truck and I'm in the back and I'm trying to get him to respond. And I'm yelling at him because they said he didn't have his hearing aids in. And so I'm like full volume yelling at this guy. And, you know, John! And my partner's beside me, I'm sitting on the bench. My partner's standing there. He's setting up a line, stuff like that. And I turn to him and I go, DJ! And he about craps himself because I just yelled right in his ear. Mm-hmm. He's like, what the hell? I'm like, I just want to make sure this thing was on because he's not moving. So it's loud in my head, but he ain't moving. So I want to make sure my voice was on. So we're both cracking up laughing. The fire department opens the door. It's middle of the night. They hand us the paperwork. They just said, we don't want to know. Shut the door and went back to station. So it was funnier than that, Chris.
Oh, God, Mark.
See, now you are just my daughter.
Jesus. Now I'll edit that to where it sounds legit.
So diagnosis. Patients who suspect something is wrong with their hearing will initially go and see their doctor. Sounds like a solid choice. The doctor will talk to the patient. They won't hear him, but they'll talk to him. and several questions regarding the symptoms, including when they started, whether or not they've gotten worse, whether the individual is feeling pain alongside the hearing loss. The doctor will look in the ear with an otoscope. Otoscope.
Yeah. Not auto. Oto.
Otoscope. This is the instrument with a light at the end. The follow... Anyway. It's actually got, I believe, like a magnifying glass on it too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. It's basically... So it's that thing it. That they look... Yeah. It's the... An otoscope is the thing that's like funnel-shaped. And then it has an eyepiece on one end, and they stick the funnel in your ear, look through the eyepiece, and it has a light there.
Unless they have it backwards, and they stick themselves in the eye with a funnel piece.
Right, exactly. And then you can use your ear to hear their eyeball.
Then you're having hearing loss, and they're having vision problems. So, the following may be detected during the examination. A blockage caused by a foreign object, a collapsed eardrum, an accumulation of earwax. I gotta tell you, I mean, whenever I clean out all the earwax in my ears... Mm-hmm. It's really nice. I can hear again.
Yeah. See, here's my problem is that I'm going to gross out some listeners, but fuck it. I like Q-tipping, but I also really like it when I miss a day or two, and I like to see the stuff I can get out. I know it's weird. I am sorry. But if anyone thinks that's weird, then there's those people who watch Dr. Pimple Popper. You guys are out there. Also, this is not an advertisement. It's just one of those things where... I like to see what'll come out of my ear. But the problem is I like to Q-tip so much that it never builds up. And it's just kind of this.
See, I don't like Q-tipping. I always feel like there's some left in there.
You don't like Q-tip? Really? Uh-uh. Oh, I love it.
I'd rather use the ear syringe.
See, what I like to do. Okay, here's the thing, though. You have to be careful because I get what you're saying. The off-brand Q-tips that aren't really Q-tips, they kind of get a little fuzzy in there.
They're like R-tips or T-tips.
Right, exactly. They're not as tightly woven as the True Blue Q-tip. No, you know, I get
again, not a sponsor. We're not endorsing anything.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Q-tips. It's what I use.
So an infection in the ear canal, an infection in the middle ear, if a bulge is present in the eardrum.
I got a bulge for you.
Call a steatoma, a skin behind. Jesus. Cholesteatoma, skin growth behind the eardrum in the middle ear, fluid in the ear canal. And a hole in the eardrum, which sounds extremely painful. A light at the end. The following may be detected during examination. Blockage. That's a repeat. A tuning fork test, which I really hope is just where they hit a tuning fork and stick it against the side of your head. This is also known as a Rinne test or Rinne test, R-I-N-N-E. A tuning fork is a metal instrument with two prongs that produce a sound when it's struck. Simple tuning fork tests may help the doctor detect whether there's any hearing loss and where there is a problem. A tuning fork is vibrated, placed against the mastoid bone behind the ear. Sweet. The patient is asked to indicate when they're no longer able to hear the sound. The fork, which is still vibrating, is then placed 1 to 2 centimeters from the auditory canal. The patient is asked again whether they can hear the fork.
Fork that. Air conduction. No. Oh my gosh.
Jesus. As air conduction is greater than bone conduction, the patient should be able to hear the vibration. If they cannot hear it at this point, it means that their bone conduction is superior to their air conduction. Huh. This suggests a problem with the sound waves getting to the cochlea through the ear canal. You have an audiometer test. Audiometer. The patient wears earphones, Jesus. The patient wears earphones.
You know what, but are you really that wrong?
Right. No, it's, I guess it'd be more of like a regional difference between earphones and earphones.
Yeah, very, very true. One's a very Australian way to say it.
Oh, you throw me off sometimes, man.
Yeah, but I'm funny.
You are. Let's see here. Audiometer test. The patient wears earphones. I'm going to stick with it. And sounds are directed into one ear at a time. A range of sounds is present to the patient at various tones. The patient has to signal each time the sound is heard. The worst part about that is they put you in a soundproof booth. So until they put you in there, they shut the door and everything goes away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my son has to do these things, and I love being in there to the point that I want to buy one. So when you and I do recordings, we can just
have you ever done a sensory deprivation tank?
No, I have not. We've talked about this, so you've done it. Or you should do like a float tank, right? You should
try it. Yeah,
yeah.
We should do that sometime. Correct. Separate tanks. Correct.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it'd be a lot. If it was the same tank, doesn't it kind of kill the sensory deprivation part? Like,
right. You know.
He's touching me, sir. He's touching me.
Well, you know, it would just turn into a splash.
Yeah, exactly.
At that point.
They were giggling.
Like people in other rooms are complaining about the noise coming from our room. It's intruding on their sensory deprivation.
Yeah.
Each tone is presented at various volumes so that the audiologist can determine at which point the sound at that tone is no longer detected. The same test is carried out with words. Yo mama. The audiologist presents words at various tones and decibel levels to determine where the ability to hearing stops.
Okay, so you're going to be saying a few words here. First one is I. Okay. Second one is boned your mom. Oh, sorry. That was three words. Sorry. Different one. I'm actually your dad. Anyway, all right. Moving on.
Worst father reveal ever.
Right, absolutely.
Bone oscillator test. It's where they just oscillate your bones around and see what comes
up. Yeah, absolutely.
This is used to find out how well vibrations pass through the ossicles. Well, that makes more sense. A bone oscillator is placed against the mastoid.
Hmm.
The aim is to gauge the function of that nerve that carries the signals to the brain.
So, Mark, you want to make this one a two-parter? Because we're at an hour now, and we still have a lot to go.
Yeah, because we still got five pages to
yeah.
go.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what. This has actually been a – yeah, it's kind of funny because I looked at hearing disorders. I'm like, oh, okay, this will be more of a not as exciting episode, but I've enjoyed the hell out of this episode. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun.
Tell you what. Let's just do this one last little bit. Routine screening of children. Because that's what then we'll next week we'll talk about Meniere's disease and I'll look over the prep and
maybe
see if we have enough for a full hour again. And if not, we will do some other
do something else.
We'll
yeah.
add to it. Yeah. We'll add to it because there's plenty of other things out there to look at for hearing problems.
Yeah. Well, so. I scrolled away. So why don't you go ahead and take it away for routine screening?
Routine screening of children. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that children have their hearing tests at the following times. When they start school. At age 6, 8, and 10, at least once while they're in middle school, and once during high school. So, testing newborns. The otoacoustic emissions, OEA test, involves inserting a small probe into the outer ear. And test involves inserting a small probe into the outer ear and then yelling really loud. It's usually done while the baby's asleep, which makes it even better.
Oh, God.
The probe emits a sound and checks for echo sounds bouncing back. Oh, yeah, that seems a little more humane. Echo sounds bouncing back from the ear. If there's no echo, then the baby may not necessarily have a hearing problem, but they do want to do further testing after that. So, yeah, getting your children taken care of.
Taking care of children. Annually,
every day.
All right.
No, this is actually. It was one of these. Thanks to Hanati.
Yep. Thanks, Hanati.
It's Hannah Ade or Ade.
It is now Hanati.
Hanati, and the thumb war between Jessica Trout.
Jessica Trout and Hanati.
Right. Big old brawl at the first live show.
Absolutely.
So, no, thank you to Hanati for this idea. Like I said, it was one of those. I was like, nah, take a look at that. And they actually got really interesting really quick.
Yeah, that was really cool. You know,
next week, we're going to talk about Meniere's disease and I think that's
it. It's kind of funny.
Cochlear implant. And we'll find some other stuff to talk about because there's plenty.
Because I've listened to other like radio shows or podcasts and they're always like, yeah, we got the coolest listeners, man. Love you guys. And I'm like, it's fan service. You don't give a shit about us. But the listeners are really cool. It's actually one of the coolest parts about doing this is like reading the comments and people getting the jokes. We love it, by the way, when people send us stuff about Tiddlywinks and different parlor games.
I saw that this week. Yeah
someone said,
I think you liked it and I put a comment on there.
Yeah, I love how Tiddlywinks has become a part of the show. And I think that's uh-huh. the coolest part is like when people they get it and it's fun. It's almost like having a network of drinking buddies, I would say the best way to put it. And it's fun. It really is fun.
We
really enjoy you guys. You guys have been doing great in helping us get listens and we've been going way up in numbers. We say that, you know, quite often and it's just been awesome. We really feel the love from you guys. So with that,
I was talking to a friend of ours who also does a podcast and I told him how many downloads per week we're getting. And he was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, we're able to, he was just shocked at how many we were getting, and the fact that we passed 250,000 downloads and, you know, stuff like that, 250,000 listens.
Suck it, friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're superior to you in every way.
Taller too.
Hasn't called me back though.
Yeah. That's weird. That's really strange.
I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure he's just busy. Yeah.
Well, Mark, that is all I have on hearing loss. Well, actually, it's not.
You have another whole episode.
That's true.
That's all we have for tonight. All I have for tonight, But yeah, that's what I've got for tonight. We will be back next week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for spreading the word of medical stuff. And thank you, especially thank you for the jokes and the responses, because I seriously, when I saw that Tiddlywinks thing and that's still going on, I loved it. Mm-hmm. When that one person put on about, I misspelled Ball's Palsy, I literally laughed for a couple minutes just because, and, you know, it makes me feel good that people are connecting that much with the show.
Absolutely.
Anyway, yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter at We're on Twitter at Medside Stuff, MedsideStuff. We're on Facebook at Medical Stuff, and we're on Instagram at MedicalStuff52.
And if you'd like to send us an email, please do. We are at MedsideStuff@yahoo.com.
There you go. And we will be back next week with the rest of the hearing
loss
episode. Thanks, Hanati.
All right. And
toast.